Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That is one of the verses, Proverbs 27:17, that we stand by, live by, and try to apply in our lives. And so I've got my co-host today. Tim's in the house with me today. Good to have you, bro.
Good to be here.
So anyway, so we have a topic today that we're going to kind of stir about a little bit. And I say stir because this can go a lot of different ways. But we're going to talk about conflict. And how do we deal with conflict on a personal basis, as a family, as a church, as a community? How do we deal with conflict? There's a lot of conflict in this world.
There's a lot of conflict.
You cannot avoid it on a daily basis. So we'll kind of lean into that after as the main topic. But in the first and foremost, we always like to kind of kick things off with some encouragement of sort. And
when the Apostle Paul was writing Romans, he was talking about Abraham. And Abraham was promised that he was going to have a son, and it wasn't happening, and he was old.
Yes.
And if you know the story, it's kind of an amazing story, but he was old. And then Paul puts this verse in Romans 4. He says, "No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised."
Yes.
And several days ago, this verse just caught my attention. And there is so much in here. I noticed that there was no distress that made him waver, but what grew his faith was that he gave glory to God.
Yes, yes.
His faith grew strong because he gave glory to God. And I think there is... You know, he's fully convinced that God can do what God has said he was going to do. And as we read this word, God has promised a lot of stuff in here.
Yes.
And as we get to know these promises, if we are fully convinced and live lives that give God glory, not only by our actions, but by our intentions, we just choose to give God glory, even when we're in conflict.
Yes.
Or other things are going.
Yes.
On. That will strengthen our faith, and I think that's worth it.
You know, and that's a big part of where it even talks about in the book of James, that in all trials that we are to be joyful, okay, to consider it pure joy, right? And how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, when you start thinking about God, okay, how can you not help but be grateful for what he has done in our lives by giving us a relationship with Jesus Christ that who took care of everything by dying on that cross and raising himself from the dead, you know, and giving us opportunity to have eternal life with him and the Father and the Spirit, right?
So what you're doing is taking your perspective off yourself and
yes.
raising the telescope a little and saying, there's a great big world out here, and there's a great big God that created it. And you know, if you ever are on a great big field and you want to walk exactly straight across it, if you look right where you're putting your feet, you will waver all over the field. But if
yes.
you keep your eyes focused clear across the field, you can walk
yes.
a straight line.
Yes.
And that's what we're saying here. If you
yeah.
keep your eyes focused on Jesus, on God, on creation too, for sure.
Right, right.
But part of that is remembering all the things that God has done for you that are wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so often we can get caught up into, okay, that was in the past, but that doesn't happen today. I have seen nothing that's taken place. But really, what we are so narrow-minded sometimes, or mm-hmm. so focused into why am I not getting what I want, rather than what am I doing that's maybe not wrong, but what am I doing that's not right?
You know? And how do I fit into God's plan?
Yeah.
If you think about a big machine, each cog on a gear is one little thing.
Yes.
We are each one little piece of God's master huge plan. And if, you know, it's like a team.
Yeah. Yes.
If you play your part, the team does well.
Yeah.
So we're here to play our part, and to encourage you to play your part and to be fully convinced that you got a great coach out there and the team is going to win.
Yes.
We've read the playbook. We know the team is going to win.
And we're in the process of reading it. I'd like to think that the majority of us are doing that on a regular basis. All right. I like that encouragement. That's pretty good, man. It's encouragement to all of us, no matter how long you've been in a relationship with our Lord. You know, we can always have even more encouragement of just trusting in Him even more and seeking Him most, first and foremost,
above
all
bet.
Things. So anyway, so let's segue right into this. What about conflict? How do you deal with that sort of thing?
Well, since we don't really have any in our lives, we don't have anything to offer for that. But
yes, yes.
Well, there's a utopian thought. People have attempted to create utopias. It's like, I found a perfect church, but I ruined it when I showed up. You know, people have conflict. That's just, it is the nature of being, living in a fallen world, of being kids of Adam and Eve. Conflict began back then, and it's going to fully end when Christ returns and sets everything right. In the meantime, our job is to submit ourselves to Jesus and to be as loving and as Christ-like as we can. But even that can create conflict.
Well, and we think about it, it's all about relationship. I mean, you can't help. You're born into this world. You're born into relationship. You have a mother and a father, okay, at least that. So you have relationship from the very get-go, okay? Now, from there on, you have continual relationships. People you bump into, it's a relationship. May not be the greatest relationship, but it may be minimized from the time that you spend with them, but it's still a relationship.
Yes.
Okay. The more often we spend time with people, the more we get to know who they are, and the more that we have a tendency of enjoying their presence, or maybe not. As a child, you enjoy mom, right? Because mom takes care of all your needs, right? And we do that with no conditions because we don't know any better. All right. We know is that I don't know if we know this, but there's something that's taking place. Mom is loving us, taking care of us. All of our needs are being met. You know, we're getting cleaned. We're getting fed. We're giggled. I mean, we're being
held.
Feeling emotions and held and everything. All of these things that are so nurturing and important.
Yes.
Okay. In any relationship, all of these same basic nurturing things are important in those too.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, things take place. What happens the first time you see a child or your own child all of a sudden doesn't want to go along with what you're doing? Okay? There becomes a conflict,
mm-hmm.
right? And we forget about that sort of thing. These little things, little conflicts can actually, if not dealt with, can actually be a sense like a percolator, or I should say, that is just percolating. If it's not dealt with, continues to grow and grow and grow and get hotter and hotter and hotter as the
incubator.
Days go by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. And these conflicts, these little ones, sometimes can turn into larger ones that have nothing to do with what the real issue is that you're dealing with this person.
Yes. And that's whether you're in family or not. That's any relationship. That's human relationships. And sometimes we have conflict because we have problems in our own lives that we may not even be aware of.
Yes.
And so there's a word that came about with Jesus that really applies here, and that is grace.
Yes.
grace and mercy, those two concepts in how we, the conflict between us and God got solved in the life of Jesus. The key then is, how can we ingest, take in, be a part of, live grace and mercy so that that can flow through us and be something that will solve conflict with those that we bump into, whether it's guys at work or family at home, neighborhood. It doesn't matter. People at church, people are different. We have different views on things.
Well, you know, one thing on talks about it in the book of Ephesians, one of the things, and in chapter 4, verse 31, says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Now, this is one of those, couple of those verses that are easier said than done.
Right? Oh, you know, yes, yes, yes.
When we're sitting there and saying, well, wait a minute. I'm only bitter because they don't get along with me. I'm only bitter because they don't agree with me.
You know, when you're saying that, you're pointing a finger.
Yes, and there's usually three more pointing back at yourself.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're pointing the one finger, right? So the point being is that it says to be rid of this, you know, be rid of this bitterness, because this is when there's a conflict. I think one of and I'm not trying to get into the solution on it, everything right now, but, you know, one of the things that came up with Debbie and I here a couple of years ago, and she used a statement that she had picked up somewhere along the line by asking somebody a simple question that isn't attacking them. It's not getting them to feel defensive in a sense of any means, but it's asking them a simple question, and it's sort of generic. It works across the board. Help me to understand why mm-hmm. you feel this way,
mm-hmm.
or help me understand why you act this way. Help me to understand is the key to it. However you finish that question, but it's help me understand. Help me.
That's a open door question. It's not a judgmental question.
Yes.
And so it opens the door for understanding. It opens the door for communication. It opens. Period. It opens, and that's the key with a lot of this, is how can we open communication, et cetera. And the other piece there that is just so important, which has happened several times with my wife, Nancy, and I, listen to your wife. Women have a great sense of how to communicate with other people. Yes. And we pick up a lot of the rough edges men have get smoothed off by their wives, because wives are just intuitively better communicators. I think God designed them that way, and that's why he said the two shall become one flesh.
Yes.
We pick up things and we learn things in situations like that are really, really important.
Well, you know, we're wired differently.
Yes.
Okay. Men are point A to point B, the shortest, whatever it is, that's the way we want to be able to get it done. And that's okay. That's real focus on the goal, on the vision that he has at that moment in time. And women, on the other hand, are more of a grid style type of thing, where they think of not only the goal, but they think of how it's going to affect other people, other situations, your relationship with her, and et cetera, all sorts of things. The guys were just kind of like have the blinders on. In a sense, there's some good to both of those, but the wife has a tendency. Now, there are exceptions to the rule in all cases. There are some men that kind of.
These are generalizations.
Yes. And, but that's what makes a big difference between us, is that, hey, in some cases, we say, hey, what are you talking about? I'm just going there.
Yeah. With shopping, I'm a hunter. My wife is a gatherer. I have a list and I go straight down the list and I'm done. And my wife's eyes are roaming around. And that's the same exact thing, point A to point B.
Yes.
I'm a hunter.
Yes.
I go for it.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, let's take a break right now, and we'll come back, continue talking on this sort of thing. There's something about this thing called conflict. Why is it so easily, what is it, and why did God give it to us?
And how does it occur so easily?
Yes. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham. And if you're a man living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night.
The Carolyn Merriman Show, featuring licensed therapist Carolyn Merriman.
There's a little truism, a saying that I find to be true most of the time, that overreactions are old reactions. Something from your past that's not resolved yet. Mm-hmm. It's either some loss you haven't finished grieving, some injustice that hasn't, in your mind, been made right or forgiven or something. I would really love for you to look at your triggering events as gifts from the Lord to help you get over those things. You say, oh, he pushes my buttons. Well, let's have the buttons get removed or unpressible.
Yes. Yeah. The Carolyn Merriman Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org. Faithplace.org, biblical advice, talk radio.
When I started listening to you, I started finding that guidance of how to get closer with God and how to rely on Him.
It keeps my feet grounded.
I listen to the podcast while I work.
It's a refreshing feel for me because there's a lot of times I get tunnel vision. You know, I think it's only happening to me, or this is the way that it has to be, and there, all of a sudden there's another perspective.
It's convenient. I can listen whenever I want, and I can stop, and I can rewind, and I can listen to old shows and listen to new shows. There's no one that I know that would tell me the things that you guys say in your podcast, the things that I needed to hear.
If you've been helped through our internet talk show ministry, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show, please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
We got used to the dark and thought, this is who we are. And we figured that we were just too far gone. But we were wrong. 'Cause love came running like a river. And we got washed in the water.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Tim and Raul in the studio, and the producer cut that music right off. She looked and she goes, oh, well. So listen, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 here, in verse 15, it says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So here, once again, bitter root is used. Paul uses it in Ephesians. He uses it once again in Hebrews here to remind us that this thing of conflict, okay, is almost known as bitter root in a sense. That it actually is, it can go deep and it can grow.
Yes, it can.
And
if we have a conflict over something minor, you know, food, I don't like that food, you know, whatever.
Yes.
It's as quickly forgotten as it came up. That's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about personality conflicts. We're talking about things that are important, budget. We're talking about things that are important in items of faith.
Mm.
Things that somehow are held more meaningfully to us. And sometimes we don't know where that meaningfulness comes from.
And it's also in conflict and making decisions that will impact your future.
Yes.
I mean, the days ahead or the hours ahead, okay, where sometimes the person that you're making a decision with, you guys are in conflict for whatever reason, say, no, this isn't going to go. This is what I see taking place, and it could happen, and I don't want to have to experience that. Now, in turn, this is where you get a couple of people who are, you get an opportunity to show stubbornness, your intelligence in some case, your vocabulary, your physical demeanor of influence, which in some cases can come out as men. We have a tendency of being able to do that, to try to influence individuals, especially those that we're in conflict with, okay? Even to the point of having the look, right?
Yeah. Oh, the look can be very, I mean,
yes.
As a teacher, I use the look all
yes,
the time.
Yes. And those who are receiving the look, you know, they, all of a sudden that creates sometimes a barrier where all of a sudden they say, hey, I don't want the look and I don't want that to affect me. So they put up the wall. It's sort of, it could be, it's always imaginary, but it's their wall that they feel that, hey, I'm just not going to react to it and I'm not going to listen to you or whatever it is, right? So, but at the bottom line here, Tim, it comes down to our own desire to be either open-minded or closed-minded, right?
Yep. And I would tag on to that. It comes down to our desire. Is it all about me?
Yes.
Or is it all about relationship?
Yeah.
And so our bottom line here is that we believe in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we believe as followers of Christ that it isn't all about us.
Yes.
It's all about Jesus, and it's all about being submitted to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. And with that as the groundwork, the table from which we have the rest of the discussion, that's where a lot of the conflict comes, because yes. I'm not getting my needs met the way I want them. And when that happens, or something about the conversation insulted what I hold dearly inside me, and now I'm mad.
Yes.
And then it's all of a sudden it's all about me.
Yes.
And that's going to produce conflict no matter who I'm with, because they're not going to try to please me the way I want to be pleased.
Right. And, you know, we may go into a situation, whether it be a conversation or an arena where you're interacting with other people physically accomplish a goal. And what ends up taking place is that sometimes we can look at things saying, I don't necessarily didn't want to do it that way, but I can see where this will get accomplished. If you're comfortable with doing it that way, go ahead and do it that way. We'll work with that. You know,
right.
There's compromise here, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes compromise can be considered something that is not good. You know,
oh, yeah.
And yet compromise is a place of agreement where you're accomplishing the same goal, I believe, without taking away the integrity or the main purpose of what it is that you're trying to accomplish, right?
Right.
And in doing so, when we can be open of being able to allow others to express or to do things the way that they've experienced or that, you know, that they know how. This is the way they've done it in the past, is not necessarily mean that it's the wrong way to do it. Unless, of course, somebody wants it done a certain way, right? Become what we call legalistic in a sense, right?
So to me, part of what this is, and we want to try to get down to something, make it as practical as we can. But if we see this as a bullseye target for a bow and arrow or anything, where you have concentric circles all around each other, the center circle is what is most, most, most important. Jesus Christ is Lord. He died on the cross. Those things.
Yes.
And then as it goes out from there, everything becomes more, to a certain extent, I want to say negotiable, but less crucial center. So I am very willing to talk with people about, you know, I know people who think that the only way to baptize is by dunking and some by only by sprinkling and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We can have a conversation with that and we can agree or disagree and we're fine. We don't have to have conflict. We just agree to disagree. We say, oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. It's not the core of my being and it's not something that somehow my personality is wrapped around.
Right.
So I don't have conflict over things that are not really important. So part of the issue here is to make sure that whatever we're having conflict about really is the center of the target. Because we have conflicts so much of the time on things that are peripheral issues. They're not a big deal, but we allow them to become a big deal.
Yeah.
I remember having a conflict, a huge conflict. This was actually before we got married. So it was with my girlfriend who became my wife about whether animals would sleep in the house or out of the house. It was a massive conflict. This is not a big deal.
Yes.
But it became one at that moment.
Right.
And we were angry for a day and a half or two, and it finally got solved. And part of that part, I don't even remember. I just remember how dramatic a problem it was. We were both immature, both in our faith and as people, and a little thing became just that rock under your saddle. It became really awful.
Yes, yes.
And so as we mature in Christ, one of the biggest things about conflict is make sure it's on the center of the target.
Yes, yes. And so often, as you said, you use the words immature, mm-hmm. okay? And that's sometimes where we end up having to take a look at ourselves. And sometimes it, with help from those that aren't involved in a conflict.
Very important.
They help to guide us in a sense of being able to see our part, especially if we value their take on it, okay? And that's where when we do that sort of thing, that becomes part of that process of where there's a healing or reconciliation or and there's growth that takes place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe that God allows certain things to take place in our lives. Yes, we make decisions, but God allows them to take place, for most cases, for everyone to learn from something.
Right.
Okay? And if we don't, if I walk away from something, not receiving anything that I, or not have learned anything, I'm probably going to have to repeat that again somewhere along the line, right? Kind of like that Groundhog Day type of thing.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, there's some lessons that are powerful enough. I don't want to have to learn them twice.
Yes.
Even though that's common.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said when he was in Gethsemane and he came back and his disciples were sleeping, he said, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Mm.
I think one of the most powerful things about conflict is we just allow them to happen because we haven't prepared our hearts in advance.
Yes.
We, that's that morning time of prayer and setting the day before God and submitting to Him and putting that all out there. It's not that that's some kind of a cure-all and there will never be conflict in your life.
Yes.
Not trying to say that at all. But when we do watch, when we do pray, when we are aware of our setting, and when we are actively trying to get Christ more and more into our lives every day, accepting Him and submitting to Him, then so many of these things we have, we are given in the moment the wisdom to handle the situation in a godly manner.
Yeah. And that's the key right there, because we are to grow more like Christ-like. Right? More like Him, to be more humble, more teachable, and yet to be able to be draw closer to being holy as He is holy, right? And without dealing with the conflict, we're going to continue doing the same things over and over again. Are you a conflict avoider? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Well, you are listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox, And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com.
There's a struggle, it's God and the devil, it's love against the enemy. Whoa, oh, oh, no, I'm not giving up now.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you know, we're talking about conflict and conflict resolution. We're going to get into here, and yet part of what ends up taking place is that one of the ways that so many deal with conflict. I mean, I don't think there's too many of us that can say we've never dealt with it this way, but it's conflict avoidance, right? When you just avoid the situation. Maybe even instead of avoiding the situation, avoiding the individual completely that you have conflict with. It might be a minor conflict, like, you know, hey, you know, I threw my gum out the window. Oh, hey, it's biodegradable. It'll just go right into the earth.
Yeah, within 100 years.
Yeah. So you have a conflict on that, but that may not be the real issue that's going on, but that is what the trigger was to open the door into other things that are been manifesting itself within us, right?
If you've ever ducked into a room or taken a different road because, I mean, pathway when you're walking through church, through the mall, through anything, it's, oh, there they are. I'm going this way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
You're just wanting to avoid the situation. Or when you're caught in the situation of, you know, it becomes very awkward sometimes. But usually just for you. Because sometimes, yes, both parties may be in avoiding the situation, okay? But in some cases, I know I have for myself, where I'm the only one that has actually had a problem. The other person doesn't have a problem with it.
They don't even know,
what's going on. And I'm the one that's kind of sweating or kind of jigging and jagging. And it becomes very uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's like, so how do you deal with that sort of thing? Well, I think a lot of it is I have to, again, if I've got people in my life that I trust and that I know that seek God, okay, and they have my best interest at heart, not just their way of doing things, then I need to seek some advice.
Godly counsel.
From people who are actually have that, maybe that wisdom or that experience in that area. And the best way of doing that is to ask.
And actually, the step before that is to have relationship with them. Because if you go up to, I mean, even your pastor or somebody, but somebody you don't know well or doesn't know you well, you're going to get pretty general advice.
Yeah.
The way that this really works is when you are in relationship.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, that's what Jesus asked for in the first place. He wants intimate relationship with us. Yeah. And when we have a relationship, for example, Raul and I have a relationship. And I know that if I have a conflict, since we've known each other these, 7 or 8 years, if I bring something up, he's going to agree with some things and call me on it, or because he doesn't just come into this situation with my description. He knows me and knows my heart so that it fills in those blanks that I may not be willing to say at a time.
Right.
And then he can say some hard things like, well, have you thought about?
Well, you know, that when you said let's step back and let's take a look at this about having a relationship with people, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there. Because I believe that sometimes that God allows certain individuals to come into my life, especially when I'm seeking God and his answer. Okay, as we'll use the example of going to my pastor and saying, you know, I've got this situation and it concerns this sort of thing. And I ask him if he has any experience in that arena or anything. And let's just say it's smoking heroin, right? And, of course, the pastor says, no, I don't have any of that experience in that. But I know you can go talk to this guy here.
Right.
And talk to Dave. I think he might be able to help you out, okay? At least give you some insight. And let him know that I sent you over. And matter of fact, there he is right there in a striped shirt, whatever it is, okay? So I walk over to this guy, Dave, and I ask him, say, Dave, pastor told me to come over and talk with you. Have you got a minute or two? And then I just start to disclose a little bit. Now, see, I have to be trusting.
Yes.
I have to be trusting God, okay, who says, go talk to the pastor that prompted me, and I went to the pastor. I trust my pastor enough to that he's going to lead me to someone that he trusts, so I believe I can probably trust this guy.
And there's wisdom in that situation because of experience, et cetera.
Exactly.
Basically, you're seeking an expert in that particular setting.
Yes, and that's where I didn't want to say I totally disagree with what you're saying, because I understand what you're saying, but I also know that there are opportunities that God gives us to be able to receive what he has to say to us through other people. And sometimes those individuals, I call them angels sometimes, because sometimes you don't see them again.
Right. Well, you know, and I have received what I'll call an emotional spank at times from radio shows, from messages I've podcasts or whatever, because it hit what I was dealing with right then.
Yes.
And I got some godly wisdom, and I went, oh, that's me.
Yes.
But the bottom line of all that is, brother, you need to have a teachable spirit. Because if you think you're right, you're going to stay in conflict.
Yeah.
Because you can't. That humility piece is going to be overarching all of this. No matter what kind of solution we talk about, no matter what kind of conflict it is, if there isn't somewhat of a spirit of humility, you're going to stay in conflict always.
And, you know, there's one of the drawbacks to this conflict of not willing to resolve it, in a sense, is that that puts us in a position that is very uncomfortable, but we deal with it as men. And men have a tendency of really willing to deal with the consequences of being, when you're in so much conflict with so many people, you isolate.
Oh, we shut down.
You shut down and you stay alone. You have your garage with your hobbies and things that you just keep doing. You don't need to. You don't need anybody else. Don't want anybody else. You take care of. You might be married. You might have a relationship with your children, but anybody else, there's not going to be, because there's conflict. Well, when there's that type of conflict that's going on, brother, there's something in the spirit that needs to be attended to. You know, where there's not, because we are called to be in relationship with others. We can't follow what Jesus asked us to do, to go and make disciples of all men, of all nations, if we won't even get out of our home, okay? Or if we avoid being with other people, or, you know, whatever that might be, you know?
In this country, which is all I can speak for because this is where I live, we have been trained to like comfort. And most of us don't like conflict, whether it's financial or in the neighborhood or anything else. And so, yes, we isolate and we just want our peace. And it comes back to what I mentioned before. Truly, we're very selfish and we just want what's good for us.
Yeah.
And the analogy is, you know, if I'm on a football team, if I play a certain role, if I'm the left tackle, that's what I got to take care of. If I'm the quarterback, I need to see the whole field in a much bigger way.
Yes.
But if I'm the head coach and I'm up in the press box or whatever, the assistant coach,
yes,
I need to really see the whole field, offense, defense, and everything else. And I need to know who's coming in. God's the one up there seeing the whole field, and we need to get more and more of his perspective if we're going to be able to deal with our conflict. If our perspective is too, like you said earlier, with the blinders on, then it doesn't matter whether the conflict is with your wife or a friend, whether it's at work or whatever. If your blinders are on and it's about you, it's not going to be worked out.
Yeah. You know what? I want to talk about this one thing that I think is the key. There are many reasons why we avoid conflict resolution, but I think there's one that is so key. We'll talk about that right after this break. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments, for an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
Owners and managers of businesses are always looking for a good way to spread the message about their product or service. Well, we invite you to try advertising on our talk shows here at faithplace.org. We have very engaged listeners, and we keep the cost of advertising super low. When you partner with us, you'll receive a commercial on each one of our shows, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show. And when you advertise with us, you'll not only help your business, but you'll be helping this ministry continue on. We're so excited to hear from listeners all around the world who are being inspired to put their trust in Jesus Christ. For more information about advertising on our talk shows, simply email info@faithplace.org. Yep, that's info@faithplace.org.
Pastor's wife and wives ministry leader, Debbie Chavez.
There's a way to bring things up that helps you to have a calm conversation where your husband doesn't get defensive. Here's an example of how to do it wrong and how to do it right. The wrong way would be to say, "I can't believe how you treat our kids." Okay, that's not a good opening line.
No, never.
Because immediately...
Defense,
right? But what if you start out by saying, "I know that you love our children dearly. I wonder if you notice that they tend to shut down or start crying a lot, or slam the door and go hole up in their bedroom after, they've done something you didn't like and you've responded. Have you noticed their reaction?" And so you're just opening up a dialogue. And then you can say, I'm wondering if we could come up with a different way.
The Debbie Chavez Show, podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Back to Band Brothers Radio. Okay, we're just in the closing moments here of this topic on conflict, and we're talking about conflict resolution. In Proverbs 19, verse 11, it says, in the NIV 84, it says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." Okay, so, which is very difficult for many of us to do. We can, now that's not conflict, that's not avoidance. Okay, what he's doing here is accepting that person for who they are and what they have said or what they have done, and saying, I'm not going to make a big deal of this. I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
This is grace.
Yes, exactly. And as a result of that, those are things that I know that for myself personally, I need to give more grace all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, he just gives grace all over the place, right? I mean, look at his disciples. He says, hey, you guys, are you so dull? You guys don't get this, you know? And I think he used a little stronger emphasis when he said that. That's how we read it, okay?
Right.
But I believe that there was a more emphasis on that sort of thing. But yeah, he loved them. And he wasn't going to throw them out saying, hey, I don't want you as my disciples anymore. No.
So the big deal there is he maintained relationship through all of this.
Yes.
And that is one of the biggest things about learning to deal with conflict. It's why we have such a high divorce rate.
Yes.
We don't have perseverance in these relationships to realize that the person is more important than the conflict is.
Yeah. And that perseverance includes being patient and willing to accept this is the way it is right now at the moment. And it's not going to stay that way. It'll change.
Right.
It's going to change. But the one that needs to change is usually me.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my heart.
It's my heart that the more that I seek the Lord and his guidance in this, however he gives that to me, it may be through other individuals. It could be Dave, this guy in the striped shirt that I'm talking to.
Right.
It could be my pastor. It could be a good friend. It could be even the person that I have conflict with, that I go to them with an open heart of saying, you know, I'm willing to let's set this thing aside and let's move forward on here. One thing that does, that generally takes place is that the relationship has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to change.
And that's okay. Change is...
Yes.
We are often uncomfortable with change, but change is the only constant in life.
Yes. And that's one thing that everybody actually, they don't want things. I want it to be like it used to be. Well, no,
it's not.
It cannot be. If you look in the mirror, you look different than you did a year ago. Okay? There is change that's taking place. It's part of life.
Yes.
And so relationships change. And hopefully that in some of them, they're going to blossom and get even stronger, and there's going to be more vibrancy. And in others, they're done. Okay?
Yeah. Well, and the key with, to me, one of the big keys with all this is that God had conflict with us, and he sent Christ to reconcile us to himself. And if I view God as willing to do that, then what am I willing to do to reconcile with my brother?
Yes, yes, exactly. I wanted to read something here in one of the that I had here. It says here, if it cannot be overlooked, one must pursue reconciliation. This is such an important issue to God that peace with him and peace with others are inextricably entwined. We cannot know peace with God unless we are at peace with one another. And we cannot truly know peace with others unless we are at peace with God.
And that brings peace with ourselves. A lot of times we have conflict. It's because we're not comfortable with who we are, because we don't know who we are in relation to Jesus. In other words, peace with God.
Yes, yes. And so often the way that we end up looking at others is sometimes the way that we look at God.
Yes.
Right? Do we not have conflict with God ourselves? Yes. God, I've been praying and praying and praying, and you're not giving me this, you know? Or, Lord, Lord, it's the wife that you gave me. You know? Whatever it is, we're always looking about ourselves. Instead of maybe looking at it with some humility of saying, what in me needs to change, Lord? What in me can I change? Because it doesn't mean that the other person is not supposed to change. They are, but that's with their relationship with the Lord. Okay? But what in me do I need to change or allow you to change in me?
Amen. I so agree.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's our conflict deal that we dealt with today.
Scratch the surface.
Barely scratch the surface. So how about praying for our brothers here listening?
I'm going to use 2 Corinthians 7:1 as my prayer here for you, brothers. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God.
The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, there is hope, and you are not alone.